us so tender, it's calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, through evermore. Our sins, they are many.
Years and then forevermore. Amen. Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and you carry a heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you can possibly think of, but there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. And you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. He saw it all.
Good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. We read in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Let's celebrate our country's birthday coming up this Tuesday by singing a medley of three great patriotic hymns. We'll start with two verses of My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and then we'll go right into America the Beautiful, and then to the Battle Hymn of Republic. My country, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the comes, holy light, protect us by thy might, great God our King. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountain majesties upon the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities bloom undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is lifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. And on the strength of all his dreams and on his feet, our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men whole, let us die to make them free. Oh, God is marching on.
Let's sing it.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes. We'd like to welcome you to Assurance Baptist Church this morning. If we could have our visitors raise your hand, we got a gift for you. We got one. I thought over here, anybody? Anybody? All in the back. Well, Christian's date on some stuff is Brother Carter is out doing a missions preaching. He texted me this morning, or no, it was yesterday actually, sorry. 142 people saved. So praise the Lord, right? We'd like to keep Carter's family in our prayers, as well as Sophie. She went to the hospital with some high blood pressure and issues. So baby's fine, but we'd like to keep them in our prayers. And then also, we got a baptism that's going to happen today, so praise the Lord for that, right? So let's pray, and then we got a special, all right? Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning in your house. Lord, we're thankful for everything you do for us. Lord, we lift up Carter and just, Lord, that what he's doing over in Cuba for you, and Lord, just the whole group that's there, Lord, that you just continue to keep them healthy. Lord, that you continue to soften hearts as they are preaching your word. Lord, that we can continue to see souls saved, and Lord, that you'd bring them home safely. Lord, I ask that you'd just be with his wife, Maddie, and Eleanor, Lord, that that you'd keep them safe, and Lord, that everything is going on with them, and Lord, that you just get them healthy and get them back here in your house. And Lord, we're just thinking of Sophie and just the McInerney family period, and Lord, that you just allow her just to be able to get out of the hospital, that you just control and be with the doctors and the nurses, Lord, that that you bring her home. Lord, I ask that you just be with the preaching today, that you'd hide pastor behind your cross, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts, that we'll get something from your word. Lord, be with the kids' ministries that's happening right now at Junior Church with Brother Jade, and Lord, that you just speak through him, that kids will learn something. And Lord, we just praise you for the baptism today that we're going to see. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. In your name and pray. Amen.
Chuck, this Morning. We're so glad to have you here with us at Assurance Baptist Church. We had some anniversaries that we celebrated this week. Brother Randy and Sister Sherry Salyer here. And so congratulations and happy anniversary to you. And then today, Brother AJ, Sister Haley Michaelo celebrate 1 year. Amen. So glad for all of you folks. Very good to have our friends, our family, Joe and Destiny Temple and their children here with them. Zoe and Leland, and I saw Reagan. There's my buddy Caleb, the dinosaur. All right? So good to have you guys with us all the way from sunny Georgia. And we are so glad that all of you have made your way this morning. Miss Misty Iddings will be baptized at the end of service, and so several of her family and friends are here, and so we're glad to have you. And also, congratulations to the new Mr. and Mrs. Iddings. Brother Troy and Miss Paige got married just a couple of weeks ago, so congratulations to you as well on your new marriage. And I really like them because we're all neighbors. We live in the same neighborhood up in Troy, and so it's easy for me to remember their names, too. I like that. This morning, yes, baby likes it, too. We are looking at a new sermon series today, a church on parentheses with it. This morning's title is A Church on Fire, but it also has a parentheses with it. We'll get to that in a moment. But a fire has many purposes. If you've ever seen the old Tom Hanks movie, Castaway, I'd never seen it. I watched it a couple weeks ago. And at the beginning of that movie, he says, you know, a fire can destroy us, but it also can keep us warm. And a fire literally almost destroys him in a plane crash, and then ultimately a fire keeps him warm and he's able to eat. And I thought about that. Our church is under certain attack by Satan. Now, I don't want you to be afraid of that. It's a good thing. But as the church grows, as we've seen people baptized the last 6 weeks in a row, as people are saved, and many people have been saved in the last few months, Satan will attack because he hates everything to do with our church. He hates everything to do with anything that has anything to do with God. And I was thinking about that. How do we remain a church on fire? How do we grow that fire? How do we use this fire? Because fire can do many things. Fire can destroy and consume us. But fire can also give us light and sterilize things or give us purity. It can give us energy. It can keep us warm. In this series, A Church on Fire, we look at how fire can be used for good and bad. There's only one bad. That's today. So if you're visiting with us, just stay with me. Not all this is meant for you, but you're going to catch some of the shrapnel. Now listen. Today, we're going to look at how fire can destroy and consume us. You know what I've learned in my 41 years of life? There's a few things that people who are saved and people who aren't saved all dislike. And one of those things at the top of the list for moral people is everybody hates a deadbeat. Everybody hates a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat mom, right? We all despise that. You shouldn't be a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat mom. Why do we hate those things? Because the characteristics of a deadbeat are as follows. They don't show up. They don't show up for their visits, or they're not there present in the child's life. They don't pay up. They refuse to pay their child support or do what they need to do financially to support the child. They don't grow up themselves, or they don't help raise the child. They're not there for the rearing. It's hard to raise children, amen? And so you're a deadbeat if you don't want to be a part of that and you've made a child. And then number four, they put everything else and everyone else above the child and the child's needs. And I was thinking about that today, and about a church on fire. And for Assurance Baptist Church, we need to be a church on fire. If you're here today and you're not saved, I would encourage you, you need to listen and wait till the completion of the service because there's something for you as well. But I want to just say this very plainly and clearly. You don't have to wait till 4th of July for the fireworks. We have some today. Some of y'all are deadbeat church members. Some of you are deadbeat church members. You don't show up, you don't pay up, and you never grow up. And I'll say it very plainly and very clearly this morning. The purpose of this is not to beat you up. It's to reprove you. It's to change you, to convict you, to teach you. The worst kind of deadbeat is the kind that when the child becomes successful, then all of a sudden the parent wants to be in their life. They want to support what the child has done, and they want to be a part of it and take credit for what they've done. And some of you want to take credit for good things that are going on at Assurance Baptist Church, and you've had nothing to do with it. You've only been trying to derail it. Because remember this, the Bible says this. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not hell that prevails against it. It's the hell that you bring into the church that prevails against it. But Jesus says, I'll build my church. Building is an offensive posture. as Jesus continues to build, and we're building, and we're growing, and good things are going on, and we're not going to stop, we have to be sober, be vigilant, because there is an adversary, Satan, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's walking around this place trying to pick us off. There's people sick this morning, people with pneumonia, people with hand, foot, mouth, people that got trapped in Cuba, people that are back in the hospital after having a glorious time having a baby. Baby Bertie McInerney was born this week, and mama's back in the hospital. There's all kinds of stuff going on, people having sewage leaks in their basement. Satan is attacking Assurance Baptist Church. He's attacking us because he hates what's going on. And I'm the shepherd. And the shepherd's job is to protect the flock, to preach the word. And as we protect the flock, sometimes inside of your church, there's some sheep who you continue to feed. Sometimes there's some goats who you have to correct. And sometimes there's wolves who you put in your sights and you got to pick them off. You hear what I'm saying today? Some of you need to show up, you need to pay up, and you need to grow up. And if you refuse to show up, to pay up, and to grow up, then at least you need to shut up. Don't have anything to say about anything else we're doing here if you don't have any part of it. And if you won't shut up, then you need to get up and get out. And listen to me, because I'm a shepherd. You say, that seems really harsh, Pastor. I told you, there's fireworks before the 4th of July. You hold on, baby. We haven't even started preaching. It doesn't make me afraid. I said this before. I started one church, I'll start another one. If you get mad and you don't like what the Bible says, that's between you and the Lord. What I have to say is the truth. Nobody likes a deadbeat. Say, oh, that deadbeat, he don't do this, he don't do this. Do you? We see in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. This isn't the message. This is just a part of what we're seeing. A good message, a good preacher, will use the word of God the way that the Bible tells us that we should. The word of God is given by inspiration. God breathed it into existence. Of God, and is profitable, means it's good for you, for doctrine, so we're going to have some teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word reproof means conviction or evidence. When you are reproved through the word of God, there'll be some change, some conviction. You'll at least be upset about it. If I say something today, you might not be able to say amen, but you might be able to say ouch, because you are convicted by the fact that this is me that the pastor is talking to. To our guests this morning, I do want you to know that I'm going some reproving here at ABC this morning to protect our flock. And the reason why I'm doing it is actually for your good. Because I want our church to be a place that is a place of excellence. I've told the deacons and trustees and my assistants, we will not accept anything less than absolute excellence. As the remember the Titans coach said, I want perfection. We do things a certain way. After 10 years of full-time ministry, we do things on purpose, intentionally, for the glory of God. And I got news for you. Whether you think it is or not, it's working. Amen. It's working. God is blessing. God is being glorified. People are getting saved. People are being baptized. We've got people in our discipleship class growing. We've got new people coming in. It's working. So we're not going to change the recipe. Some of y'all are messing with the recipe, and you don't need to. So I tell you this morning, we see this reproving, this conviction, this evidence. There's evidence that the word of God is preached and that it's working, and we want to make sure that it continues, that as a church on fire, that we stop the fire of hell, but that we continue the fire of God. So we look in our text this morning, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. If you turn your Bible, we see the story of a good father who is building, helping his son to build the house of the Lord. Listen, church member, we are here to build the house of the Lord. This is not Bryson's house. This is not Brandon's house. This is not your house. It's the house of God. Together, corporately, we get to come into it. And we get, listen, we have the grace, the opportunity to build it together, to see something amazing happen. I always get annoyed when people say, hey, Pastor, your vacuum. It's not mine. It's God's, first of all, but under God's grace, it's ours. You take some ownership and invest. Don't do anything that we didn't ask you to do and mess it up either. But you take some ownership. You've heard me say before, if you see trash on the ground, pick it up. Don't wait for Brandon to walk by. Don't wait for the trustees to do it. If you see a visitor come in and they didn't get a card, if the guys missed them, you go get it and give them their card. It's pretty easy because we're all building. You got to show up, you got to pay up, you got to grow up. And if you can't show up, you don't want to pay up, and you don't want to grow up, then at least do us a favor and shut up. And if you don't want to shut up and get out. There's other churches hiring. Nobody forced you to come here today. Now listen to me. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, if you're able, stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, we see here David. He does some things. The temple is being built, the original temple. It actually is called Solomon's temple, David's son, but David is the one who prepares the work. Let's see what a good father does in building, and we take that and use that today for how we build the church and how we do this wisely under according to the precepts of God. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be built up for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Listen to me. Assurance Baptist Church must be exceeding magnificent and of flame and of fame throughout all the community. It must be a place that's an excellent place to come to, that's magnificent in nature, that's glorifying to God, and we are the standard bearers. God is the bar. He's the measuring rod, and we are the ones who are supposed to keep it that way before his death. Now notice, David's about to die. He's preparing for something that he's not even really going to see. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord, God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord, my God. Some of you need to get in your mind today that you're going to help build the house of the Lord. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great war. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. David had been in many wars, and he was a man of blood. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. See that the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you today to hide me behind your cross. Let me only preach Jesus. As we look through these scriptures, Lord, let us see the truth of your word and how the preparation of a house for you takes place. How we must show up to build it, how we must pay up to build it, how we must grow up to build it, so that it can be magnificent, so that it can be amazing, and the fame would go out through all the world, glorifying your son Jesus. Father, we ask these things today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Number one, David showed up. In building the house of God, David showed up. He says, I will make preparation in verse 5. The Bible says, David said, my son Solomon is young and tender, and the house that is to be built up for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. David's there. He's present. He's in the moment. He's showing up. Listen, this is us just showing up to the services. It's important that we're here because there's lots of things that are going on. The first basic of not being a deadbeat church member or a deadbeat dad is just show up. At the minimum level, if you don't have any money, if you don't have anywhere for them to go, just be there. Just show up. Just come home every once in a while. See, you could say a lot of things about men and their parental lives. But if they come home or they show up for their visits, they got the first part right. They got the first part right. Just show up. You could say a lot of things about women and they're a deadbeat wife or mother. But if she just shows up, she got the first part right. First child is born. You know what's amazing about this? Some of you are new to church. First child shows up and you have no idea what you're doing. You think you know, but you have no idea. That first week when that child gives you one of those seedy stools, and you're just like, what is this? Did I have a baby or a monkey? What is this mammal that has become present in my home? You say, I have no idea what I'm doing, but you don't run away. Stay. You stay present. You continue to work at it. Sometimes people get in church and it doesn't go the way they wanted to, or it doesn't go exactly how they expected it to go, and they run from that. They won't keep showing up. But listen, we just got to show up. Showing up is a very basic level of care. Everyone has the ability at some level, I realize health and work, but everybody has the ability to just show up. We're not even asking you to do nothing yet. Just sit there. You show up because the purpose is worth it. David showed up to help Solomon because it was worth it to him. He said, we've got to build an exceeding magnificent house. It's worth it to give God glory. It's worth it to build this house. It's worth it to do something for the Lord. It's worth it to see God being built up. Let me just say this to you. Our church is growing. Last week, the parking lot was overfilled again. Not enough spaces. Only 6 seats left in here. We're looking at all avenues of what we're going to do to grow. But I got news for you. If you don't want to show up, then stop showing up and let some new people that want to show up sit in your seat. Because we need room. And I don't have a real good solution to it right now, other than maybe having to run 2 services. I don't have a real good solution to it, but I'm not going to cry about it. We had more people here last week. We got a good number here today than we did at Easter, and we had to move off campus for that. I could never bring the kids back in here again. You see Jeremy and Christy, our children's pastor, and his wife, they used to come in on the first Sundays of the month like this one. We could never do that again right now. Look at us. Where are they going to sit? They'll have to be in your laps, and you don't want that. Some of them ain't potty trained. But listen to me, the very basic level, it's hard to gauge. When Brother Brandon and Sister Nancy and I have our meeting on Monday, it's hard to gauge how many seats we need, how much room we need, because people don't show up all the time. We'd be like, 1 week is way up here, 1 week is way down here. There's got to be a consistency. Just show up. Don't be a deadbeat. Show up to the house of God. There's a reason. There's a purpose. It's willingly. It's all up to you. You don't have to do it. But if you're willing to show up, listen, so many great things are going on. People being saved. People preaching the gospel that just got saved. New people in here. Some of you don't even know the new people in here because you ain't here enough to know that they're new. You're like, they think you're new. You've been here 5 years. They're going, oh, did you see that new couple in the back? They're so nice. I said, no, they've been here 5 years. They just never show up. So all you new people, all you visitors, don't feel threatened because there's some old people just as new as you. He says, I want to build something magnificent, something amazing. But I want to show you what else he did. Look at verse 14. Number 2, David paid up. Show up and pay up. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. And 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. In our modern dollars, this is over $1 billion David comes with. Remember, he's going to die. He's not even going to see the completion of this. He's getting timber from his friend Hiram. He's bringing his own money. He's making all these preparations. He's giving $1 billion of his own money. He says, if you want to add something to it, add to it. We'll see something with the people. But listen, if you ain't going to show up, at least send your child support check. Come on. If there's anybody in here that understands what I'm talking about, if you ain't going to show up, at least send the money to pay for the baby's diapers and the milk. Some of y'all show up every once in a while and suck up all the church's resources, but you don't never send no money. You don't never send no tithe. You don't never send no offering. Listen, David said, we got to build the house of the Lord. And in order to build the house of the Lord, it takes a little bit of money. Come on. Some of you are just takers. You're deadbeats. You won't show up, and then you certainly aren't going to pay up. Hey, the P.O. box still works. I check it every day. We even got online giving. Miss Nancy, true or not? Come on, testify. If you can't bring it to the plate, bring it to a mail to a P.O. box. If you can't bring it to a P.O. box, take out your phone. I know you got one of those and go doo-doo-doo-doo, send. And guess what? Magically, money appears in the account of Sherman's Baptist Church. And I pray every Sunday when we receive offering that we use it wisely, we steward it wisely. And I'll never, ever regret paying $6,000 for kids to go to camp and having 7 kids get saved and people get baptized. And kids here, kids that were atheists 3 months ago, preaching at church camp, preaching to his mom this morning, talking about this is why I said, I'll never be ashamed of that. Talk to him, Brother Gavin. Oh, Jake, if we just had a couple of Bible readers this morning. Just 1 or 2 Bible readers this morning? If we just have 1 or 2, somebody going to get this. Y'all going to help me preach this morning. Listen to me. It's so important that we do this and that we pay up because that's the reason why those kids got saved. I think some of you got in your mind that our tithes and offerings look so good that we just got all the money in the world. We don't. We still balling on a budget. I got champagne taste, but I only got beer money. I'm just telling y'all how it is right now. Now, I don't drink. It was just an analogy. Just saying. We still are growing and building the house of the Lord, but we must pay up. David put his money where his mouth is. He's the leader. The leader lead. Then the leaders got it. Then the people got it. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. verses 1 through 9. It takes everyone to build the house of the Lord. Tithe. You say, how can I tithe? My beloved, Pastor Kevin Bell always says, you can do it because God's rich and he loves us. I like that. Brother Kevin Bell, he said that he leads the music at our church camp. Pastor Kevin said, God's rich and he loves us. You got it in your pockets. You can do it. 1 Chronicles 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto, watch this, all the congregation, I'm just preaching Bible this morning. You don't like it, but it's in here. All the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. Do you know that God has alone chose the institution of the church and this dispensation of grace to be the light for his glory? He hasn't chosen any other institution. He didn't choose the government. Now, I know we're singing 4th of July, and I got on this American tie, flag tie. But God didn't choose the government to give him glory in this dispensation. He works with the government. He's overcharged of the government. He didn't give. Now, he did give the family to give him glory. But his main institution that he gave is the church. How's God going to get glory? Through this house that's built. Solomon, my son, he's young. He's tender. And the work is great. You know, we got a great worker before us. We got a lot of work to do. For the place is not for man, but for the Lord God. This place ain't for me. This place ain't for you. This place is a literal lighthouse to our community. It's a literal Great Commission preaching center for the glory of God, to exalt Jesus Christ, to equip his people so that we can evangelize the world. That's what it is. Now, I have prepared with all my might. He said, I gave everything I got. I gave $1 billion plus for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones. He's saying, I gave a whole bunch of nice stuff. So, Pastor, I can't tithe, sell something. You sitting on them antiques, ain't never going nowhere. You know what antiques do? They remain antiques. They sitting all up in your grandmama's house, and then when somebody dies, you get it and it becomes an antique, then you die and somebody else, and you say, we want to keep it in our family. Them kids don't care nothing about them antiques. I'm just telling y'all right now. Sell it. Get the money. Use that now, baby. Just go ahead and get rid of it. I'll tell you right now, my mom said, I can't give you the antiques because you'll sell it. I said, yes, I am. Yeah, you give me them antiques, they go on the front line tomorrow at 572 Maple Crest, Troy, Ohio, and I'll be selling. I'll be out there making it rain. Talking about all them antiques, they made me a lot of money. They say, Pastor came in here with a new suit on. Yep, them antiques, praise God. Praise God for them, y'all. Now, them antiques, they're so important to us. Them kids don't care nothing about them antiques. They're going to tear them up before you can sell it. I tell my dad all the time, hey, keep all that stuff at your house nice because that's going to be mine someday. Keep it nice. Don't let no kids come in there and tear that up, Daddy. When you die, you pass that down to me. Keep it real shined up. Clean that thing every once in a while, boy. Now, listen, it's going to be mine. So I prepared all my might. Precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He says, God means so much to me. I'll just keep giving to it. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses with them. Gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hand of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Remember, he's talking to the whole congregation. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the leaders. So the main leader says, I gave. Now the other leaders, the elders, they come and captains of thousands of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. You see how they came? They gave it up. They gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer. Then the people rejoiced by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Watch this. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. The people said, it's not good enough that we just show up. The leader's giving. The leaders are giving. Listen, Nancy has to know that I'm giving. She has to know that all of our deacons and trustees are giving. And then the people are giving. When we all do it together, everybody's giving. Everybody's paying up. And when that happens, God's house is built. That's what it took to build the temple of Solomon. Solomon's temple, they've never been able to replicate it. When they built the second temple, they said, oh, this is kind of crummy. It don't look like Solomon's temple. Because all that money was given, the people paid up. But I also want you to understand this today. We got to grow up. We got to grow up. David's instructions to Solomon, look at 1 Chronicles 22, verse 6. Solomon's name means peace. It's close to the name of Shalom in the Jewish. You've probably heard someone say Shalom, peace be with you. That's what it is. Or Assalamu alaikum in the Arabic, what Muslims would say to one another. That's the name of Solomon. It is peace. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But, watch this, the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Now watch him grow up. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in all his days. He says to Solomon, you got to grow up. You got to be different than me. I've had my sin. I've messed up. I'm a man of war. We're building the house of God. He says, Solomon, have a perfect heart. This is the expectation of every church member, that we would do things to the best of our abilities, that we would do it perfectly, that our expectation would be perfect. It is the aim. Though we fall short of perfection, it's still our aim. Sometimes when I'm shooting a gun, I fall short of the target, but I'm still aiming at that target. When you're a Christian, you're still aiming at that target. Sometimes you'll miss because we're imperfect beings. Sometimes your pastor misses. I miss a lot. My wife's in the nursery, but if she was in here, she would have said, amen, brother. Messes up a whole lot. You fall short. But this is the expectation. We should want to be perfect parents even though we fail at that too. Does anybody really sign up and say, I would love to be a deadbeat dad? It would be awesome. But we know there are deadbeat dads. Does anybody sign up to be a deadbeat mom? No, but we know there are deadbeat moms. If you're a parent, you sign up to be very good at it. You want to be perfect at it. Though you'll fail, the expectation is that you'll do right. ABC has a standard of excellence, and we will accept nothing less. We're going to correct the children when they run and scream in the hallway. We're going to make sure that people are walking. We don't allow it at school. We don't allow it at church. We're going to make sure they're not bringing toys into junior church and into Sunday school. We're going to make sure that you don't go in and out of the nursery because we're trying to keep it safe. We're going to do background checks. We're going to do training. We're going to make sure that people are decent and in order because that's what the Bible says. And if you don't like those things, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. Our Sunday school classes, our junior church, our Awana, we're doing these things for the glory of God so the little kids can get saved. We're not doing them for the glory of you. If you don't like it and you can't handle it and you don't want to do it excellence, you need to understand if you don't want to grow up, then shut up. And if you don't want to shut up, then get up and get out because we will demand excellence here. Nothing less. I demand excellence in my family, I demand excellence from myself, and I demand excellence from this church because God demands excellence. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Matthew 5:48, he says, be thou for perfect as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. People say, well, that means to be mature. Okay, then start growing up, start maturing. You can't be the same way. You can't have been coming to church for 5 years and you wasn't tithing 5 years ago talking about, I still can't tithe. No, you need to grow up. You should have learned by now. You can't, I get tired of this. Well, I'm not like the other women in the church. Well, you don't have to be, but you got to be like God. You can't be no loudmouth running around. The Bible says you're supposed to be meek. You're supposed to be modest. You're supposed to be dressed in a certain way. You're supposed to be certain. Listen, you hear, well, I'm not like other men. Well, you ain't supposed to be running in here with no dangly arm, no dangly wrist. You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to stand up, put your pants up, lead your family, be a God-fearing man. You say, Pastor, that sounds really mean. I'm just telling you what the book says. If you don't like the book, I probably can't help you this morning. But if you say you like the book, if you say you believe the book, then you need to start making some changes and grow up. You can't stay the same way that you always were. We can't leave our two-year-olds in the same condition. When they get to be 4 and 5, we expect something different from them. When they get to be 10 and 11, we expect more from them. When they get to be a teenager, we expect more from them. But you also get more rights and privileges and expectations. We let our youth campers do a lot more than we let the splash campers do. Youth campers, they run around splash camp. You got to kind of watch them kids. They might be on the roof, acting a fool, picking people off with water balloons, you know. And then they say, where you come from? They say, I'm from Assurance Baptist Church. No, tell them you're from Calvary. We don't know. We don't know you. They wasn't from our church. They was from somewhere else. So. Grow up. It's God's expectation. It's our expectation. God fought for us on the cross. will you fight for him in his church? 100, when a church gets to around 100, it's a barrier to break. And then as we keep pressing towards to run 200 on a weekly basis, it's a barrier. And to break through that, the church has to be on fire. There's no going back. There's no sitting still. It's forward march. He says, I will build my church. It's an action verb. It's continually doing something, not just activity, but activity with productivity. Understand what I'm saying? And when we do this, you have to understand, when we get to these numbers, it's nothing about our glory. Satan actually withstood David and had him number the children in 1 Chronicles 21 of Israel. But it's not about our glory. It's about the more people we reach, the more people we can reach. As the church grows, the more people we have preaching the Great Commission to other people. As the church grows, the more new people we have, the more friends they got, the more people, family that's desired to have us, and it just works like that. I'm not so much worried about the number. I'm just telling you that Satan has desired to have us and sift us as wheat because he hates what's going on. He despises it. He hates every single aspect. He really hates me. He really hates you. And he doesn't want us to do well. So he's going to fight. He's going to use little things, little piddly things. And people will say, well, I don't know if I can come to church because this is going on. You know what? Grow up. Stop it. You don't quit. If you quit your job every time something bad goes on, then you're a job hopper and you need to grow up. Sometimes you just got to stand up and you just got to deal with them idiots down there at your job. You heard me complain about going to Kroger and Walmart, but guess what I do every single week? I got to go to Kroger or Walmart. And I'll be honest with you, if you work at Kroger or Walmart, I apologize, but there's some idiots that work at Kroger or Walmart. And they say, sir, we've got self-checkout open. I don't want to go to self-checkout. I want you to do your job. If I got to be in here, at least give me a Kroger shirt. Can I get some merch? You know what I mean? Like, if I got to be, what's the employee discount if I got to scan it? Can I get a little bit off my cheeses, Brother Chuck? You know what I mean? If they was $3.99, I know I got a Kroger Plus card going to take it down 30 cents. But what's the employee discount? I scanned it and I bagged it. I walked it out the door and I didn't even get a t-shirt. Listen, I'm just saying to you, we need to grow up. Satan is unleashing his fury against Assurance Baptist Church. But I want to tell you why. It's because we're winning. He can't have us because God already said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So the only hell that's allowed to come in here is the hell you bring with you. Oh, yeah. You don't like it, but there's some hellish people that come in and out of these doors. And some of y'all I'm trying to get rid of. I'm not smiling. Some of y'all I got my sights on, and I hope you just leave. Because if you ain't going to grow up, then just get out. I don't got time for it. Look, my 18-year-old son right there, he knows this. He's heard this. He has been grown up in the expectation. He's a good kid, so don't understand what I'm saying. He listens and he does what he's supposed to do. But if he don't want to follow my rules, get out! None of y'all in here, some of y'all thought that was really harsh, preacher said get out of the church, but none of y'all would think that was really harsh if you had a grown kid, you've had to say that before. Some of y'all need to get up and get out. Y'all would say, amen, brother. If I was just talking about that and not church members, y'all all would have said, praise God. You don't want to do nothing. Listen, as long as he works, as long as he's not getting in trouble with the law, he can live with me as long as he wants. He can live with me until he's 70 years old if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. No problem with that. But as soon as you start acting a fool out in them streets, or as soon as you start disrespecting me or mom, to the left. I'll be just like Beyonce. Start acting like that. Well, not just like, but. Satan's unleashing his fury against us because we're winning. Jesus said he'll build his church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. We are not playing defense. We are playing offense. Yeah. It doesn't matter if Satan gets 65 if we got 75. It doesn't matter if he gets 110 if we got 140. We just got to stay on the offensive, on the attack. People continue to get saved. People continue to get baptized, continuing to go out on grow. More people picking up in service. More people picking up tithes and offerings. More people doing things in their community for the glory of God. And when that goes on, we will see God move. Visitors, now I'm coming to your part. I spoke of fire can destroy you. A church on fire can be a good thing or a bad thing, but we can allow the fire of hell to consume us and ultimately destroy us. I want you to realize, to all of my friends that don't regularly attend Assurance Baptist Church, and maybe my friends here today that aren't saved and don't know what that is, the only reason I'm saying what I'm saying to our church members is for your sake. I want this to be an excellent place of expectancy so that when you come in, you feel welcome. Things are decent and in order, so kids aren't running through the hallways, running over your feet. I love having kids at our church. They call me Uncle Pastor Bryson. I taught with a crying baby in my hand for half a Sunday school this morning. Miss Misty, Alex, and Lydia, it doesn't bother me not one bit. That's not my point. My point is, it's decent and in order. You expect your kids to act a certain way at school, they need to act a certain way at church. You don't let them, some of y'all's kids are running around church doing stuff you don't allow them to do in your house. And this ain't your house, this is God's house. You gotta treat God's stuff better than your own. And if you won't do it, I'm going to tell them. And you get mad at me because I told them, stop doing all that in the church house. You get mad at me, I'll tell you what, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. But watch. So I'm doing this, and I'm saying this for all my friends here that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of our visitors, because we want this to be a place. It's not a perfect place, but we want it to be a place where you can expect to come and be treated kindly, with love, with care, to hear the word of God preached, a place where you can come and at least know that we care enough about you to do it right so that you have the opportunity to be saved. I appreciate a store that just cares enough about me to say hello when I walk in. It's hard to get a hello these days when you walk in. People be like, you ever met somebody when you walk in and they look at you like, why are you in this store? They got two necks because you came in like, oh, excuse me, the sign said open. I apologize for coming in to spend my money in this store that your salary is being paid by. But you walk in and they're just looking at you like, oh. Or you ever been had to go to customer service and they seem annoyed that you had to go to customer service? Ma'am, I got these batteries and they didn't work. I'd like to bring them back. Let me see them. Dang, like. Why are you so mad at me? I'm not the manufacturer. Yell at Energizer. I just bought them. I'm trying to bring them back to you. What's wrong with them? Ma'am, if I knew, I wouldn't be standing here at the customer service desk talking to you. It's your job to find out. As a matter of fact, I don't care what's wrong with them. Just give me some new ones. Here. I don't want our church to be like that. I want people to come in and be able to get answers. I want people to come in and feel the love. I want you to be greeted at the front door. I want somebody to say hello, good morning, how are you? I want you to get a firm handshake. I want somebody to be able to say, hey, is there anything I could get for you? I want them to show you where the coffee's at. I want them to bring you in. If there's not a seat, I want them to get out of their seat and give you their seat. I want this to be a place that we expect to have great things going on, a magnificent house for the house of God. We want to make sure that you have a place. I'm preaching this because I want it to be right for you. See, our church members know it, but we get off track sometimes. And as Satan begins to fight, we sometimes go backwards, and we need to go forward. We need to grow up. We want to be on fire in a good way. Where you understand the expectation is not there for our glory, but that this fire provides a light about the one whose house it is. You see, Jesus Christ came to earth. And he had no other intention, according to the Bible, but to seek and to save that which was lost. It says that, for God so loved the world, way before you were ever thought of, God loved you. And he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I want you to know what kind of son he gave. I want you to know what kind of spiritual house he built up. A perfect one. Jesus Christ is perfect. He was born of a virgin. He was raised up perfectly, never sinned, never had a bad thought. This is the gift that God gave you. And he gave you this perfect life, so that you can have an expectation that though you're not perfect, you can have a perfect Savior. Though you're not sinless, you can have a Savior who's never sinned. And because of that, the expectation is that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no delay. Missy's getting baptized today, but she already got saved. This baptism won't save her. Amen. You say, well, Pastor Bryce, I'm a really good person. So what? The Bible says Jesus made an atoning sacrifice. I was telling our class this morning, do you realize the doctrine of the atonement of sin is the only doctrine that there's nothing you can do about? Listen to me. Salvation, you have the ability to reject it or accept it. Tithing, you have the ability to reject it or do it. Being baptized, you have the ability to reject it or do it. Receiving the Lord's Supper. Creation, you have the ability to accept creation or make up some scientific things. But the doctrine of atonement of sin in Jesus Christ, there's nothing you can do with it, because what that means is he voluntarily substituted his body for your body, and it's already done. There's nothing you can do. You can't change it. And here's the key. He didn't just die for those who accepted it. He died for everybody. Even if you haven't accepted it, he already did it. You can't do anything about it. You say, well, I don't want to accept Jesus' penalty for my sin. That's fine, but he already died for you. It's already bought. It's already paid for. Somebody offers me a gift today. I have the ability to take it or not, but it's already purchased. They already bought it. Sometimes I give something to somebody and they say, I don't want that. I say, it's too late. I already got it. Now, here, I got it for you. I don't want it back. Jesus wouldn't take it back if he could, but he can't take back dying on the cross. He already did that. He's already dead. But praise be to God, he's already risen from the dead. And he rose so that he could prove to Satan, who thought he was winning at that moment, by the way, because Satan doesn't know everything, so he could prove to the world that death was just an obstacle and an enemy, but he's overcome the last enemy, which is death. Satan was already defeated. Satan knows he's defeated, so he keeps on fighting. He keeps on fighting because he's like, I'm going to try to get as many as I can. I'm going to try to take as many as I can with me. But I got great news for you today, friend, to our visitors. I would never. See, these people I'm talking to this morning, they're my church family. I would never talk to them and be mean. This isn't a mean-spirited message. It's a message of love that, hey, you know better because you're saved. If you knew better, you'd do better, so you need to show up. Because you might be the person that one of our visitors comes in and connects with. You need to pay up, because it might be your offering, it may be your tithes that helped one of these teenagers get saved at camp, or one of these young splash campers that might go to camp get saved. It might have been you paying up, so you're not deadbeat. It might be that you got some things in your life. We all do. God's still working on me, praise be to God. Lots of things that he needs, that he's still cleaning up in me, but there might be some things in your life you need to grow up that take place here at church or around the church that you need to grow up in and get more like God, so people can come in and go, oh, we're supposed to be in samples and examples for everybody else. So they go, you know, that's the way we're supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say this, not as a legalistic form of religion, but as ones who love Jesus Christ because he first loved us. So I say this to you, friends. Assurance Baptist Church needs to stay right. We don't want to get right. We need to stay right. Because there's too much on the line. People are dying and going to hell. And never, ever think that by you being a deadbeat church member that it might not affect somebody from getting saved. It might affect somebody, you not showing up, you being a deadbeat church member, you not paying up, you not growing up, might affect somebody's eternity. It might take a little of the dimmer. It might take a little of the light off of this magnificent house that God has built. And in that, it might stop someone else. It might be a stumbling block for somebody else entering into the gates of heaven where they would ultimately end up in hell. And I love you all too much to allow it. And I love all of our visitors and our friends and perhaps people here today that are lost too much to allow you to go to hell without hearing the truth of the Word of God. Church member, today, you need to resolve in yourself. You need to show up. You need to stop putting everything else in place of God, in the way of God, because you've made yourself a deadbeat. You need to pay up. If you ain't going to show up, at least pay your child support. At least pay your fair share. At least pay for them school supplies, them new shoes, them blue jeans, that food on that table. At least pay up. If you don't want to do all that, hey, listen, it will all take place if you start to grow up. Help raise somebody. See, remember, it was two parts. David was doing it. He was growing up himself, but he was also helping Solomon grow up. He was raising him. Help raise some of these new people. Help raise, hey, these teenagers that are so faithful, when they show up and they don't see you, you don't think it ever crosses their mind. I wonder where so-and-so is at today. Don't be a deadbeat. And if you don't want to do that, I'll say it again just one more time so it sticks in your head. If you don't want to show up, you don't want to pay up, and you don't want to grow up, then at least shut up. Don't cause us no more problems. You just sit there in your little seat, be quiet. Don't ask me no questions. Don't ask why this is this way. Don't ask why we do this. Just shut up. Doesn't sound real nice. Don't really care. I'm saying it out of love and respect, but just shut up. Just leave us alone. If you listen, and just because you do show up and pay up and grow up, don't mean that you can come here and try to be the boss either. That's not what we're saying. But I am saying this. I can take that a lot better from somebody that's present. I wish I would have a deadbeat mom and she come and try to tell me how to take care of the kids. That's what deadbeat church members do. Don't come here and try to tell us what's wrong and you ain't never here. You don't ever give to it. Now watch. And if you can't shut up with everything in me, with all the authority in me and the power of God in me, if you can't do all of that, nobody forced you to get here this morning. Then get up and get out. We'll pray for you. We'll still love you. You can call on me. I'll still help you. But you don't got to go to church here. You know, there were 6 people when I started this church, and they didn't have a choice because they were my family. I'd hate to lose anybody, but if you don't want to do what the Bible says in order to build this house, find yourself somewhere else, and we'll keep going. People have left, people have come. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So my friends that are here visiting today, you ever think about this? How could a pastor, how could someone who's supposed to be nice, how is somebody supposed to just talk about God and being so loving? How could he talk to the people that he says he loves, to his sheep like this? Well, I did it for you. And that's divine. That's miraculous. Our church folks will tell you, I don't generally talk to them like this. I'm generally a pretty nice guy. Generally a pretty loving fella. I might hug you. I might tell you that you look nice today. Some of you look raggedy. I might tell you that too, because I got to tell the truth. I got to tell the truth. If you don't look good, I can't lie to you. That's a lie, no matter what. If I'm quiet and you walked by and I didn't say nothing, it's probably because I thought you'd look stupid. I'm just being honest. But for my friends here today that aren't saved, that don't know Jesus, you say, I'm not a church person. I ain't asking you to be a church person. You just heard me tell people that don't want to be church people to leave. I ain't asking you to be religious. Religious says, I got to do something to stay in God's good graces. I'm not religious at all. You say, I don't believe in religion. I'm not a religious person. If you ask me if I'm religious, I'll say no. I'm all about relationship. Because my relationship with Jesus Christ says it's done. He already paid it. But just as much as Jesus paid for my sin, he paid for yours whether you've accepted or not. So I want you to hear the words of the Bible. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Nobody moving around. Everybody still, nobody moving but our pianists and our assistants. Everybody quiet with heads bowed and eyes closed. See, I'm convinced today that if you really listened, you'll understand the love of God is in this place. It's in me. I only say what I say because I want there to be an expectation of perfection, that everything is right, so that when we come to this part of the service, that you have an opportunity to be saved and know it. As the music begins to play softly in the background, I just want you to hear the words of the Bible. God, in his infinite wisdom, so loved the world that he realized you'd never be good enough, that you couldn't be baptized enough times, that you couldn't go to church enough. You could never be nice enough or love people enough to be saved. So God, in loving the world, gave his only begotten Son, the only one birthed of God. And he gave that begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When God did that, he opened the door for you to be saved and know it. What is your responsibility to be saved? Well, it's to believe that Jesus Christ truly did die on a cross. He took your place where you deserve to die. Jesus stepped in. He says, no, I don't want that person to die. I'm going to take that place. You say, why would he do that? It's only out of love. Nothing you did, nothing you could do. Not the way you look, not the way you act. No, he did it just because he's the greatest friend. He's the greatest God. He said, I want to take your place so that you don't have to die on this cross, so that you won't have to die and spend eternity in hell. And I'm going to die because he also knows I'm perfect and I'm powerful enough that I won't stay in the grave. that I'll raise up. They can't cast me to hell because I'm the creator of it. But here's the good news about hell. The only good news about hell. God didn't create it for you. He created it for Satan and his evil angels. That's where they're going to spend their eternity. So only you can prevent yourself from spending eternity in hell. Pastor Bryson, what's the good news? Why do we call it the gospel, the good news? Because if you'll repent, means if you'll turn away from that which is wicked, turn away from sin, say, does that mean I got to be perfect? Listen, that's the expectation, but we all fall short. But you'll be trying. You'll be doing better. If that's you today, you say, I need to repent. I need to turn away. I need to make sure that when I die, that I go to heaven, that I've accepted this atonement, this payment that Jesus already paid for me. I just need to take the gift now. I need to accept that today. If that's you, you say, I need that, then I want you to understand here today. It won't be the words of a prayer that I say. There's no magic in this wording. There's nothing about it that will save you. No, it's what you believe. And if you choose today that you want to accept Christ and you want to turn from sin and you want to be completely with him and knowing that when you die, you'll wake up and go to heaven, then today is the day of salvation and you need to cry out to Jesus. The Bible says, call upon his name. Here's how you do it. Quietly in your seat with no one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. You can say something like this. It's not the words. It's what you believe. Saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and that I need to be saved. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, come into my heart. Save my soul and help me to live for you from this day forward. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking about. Only my eyes are open. I'm looking first to my left side. My left first, your right. Is there anybody here today that says, Pastor Bryson, I prayed that prayer. I meant it today. I just want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. It's not about where I get saved. There's only one way to be saved. That's through Jesus Christ. And I want to be sure today. Anybody on my left that would just look up with their eyes to catch my eyes and your eyes, just our eyes together and say, that's me today. My left, your right. What about my right, your left? Says, that's me, Pastor Bryson. I want to accept Christ. Nobody's looking around. Just my eyes and your eyes. On my right, your left, you just raise your eyes to me and say, that's me today. You can just catch my eye to your eye. Say, that's me. Lord, what about the Christian here today? What about the one that says, you know, my walk has gotten cold. I've gotten tired and weary on this trail. Life is hard and I'm struggling. What about the Christian today that says, today, I want to start doing better. I want to start showing up more often. Not just the church, but the functions and the things that bring glory to God. Maybe you say today, I need to start paying up. Nobody will know that but you and those who count and the Lord. Maybe you say, I want to start paying up. I want to start paying my church support some way, somehow. Maybe you say, I do all those, but I need to grow up. I need to stop getting mad at certain things. I need to stop having certain expectations when the expectation is perfection. I need to do better. I need to be right in my own spirit. I need to be right for you, Lord. I need to be reproved, corrected. I need to be convicted of the Holy Spirit of God to do the right things and to make sure that I'm bringing glory and making this house a magnificent house for God. Today, as Brother Chuck will begin to sing the first note in just a moment, I invite you to the altar for prayer. If you're here today and you say, I didn't look at you, but I want to be saved to know it, it'd be a good time to get up and come forward today. Ask the Lord into your heart and be saved. Maybe you're here and you say, I need to join Assurance Baptist Church through letter or statement. Maybe you say, I need to be baptized. I've been saved but never baptized. Maybe you need to come today and say, I need to be baptized. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord. Let's have an opportunity now. Be spiritual, to be with God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you have your way and your will with this time of invitation and appeal. Lord, we give it to you now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?
cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your gardens spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you.
All right. If we can have our guys come forward for offering. All right, you guys give back to the Lord as he blessed you. All right, let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful morning. We thank you for the preaching that we heard. And Lord, I ask that we could just be able to just learn something from it. Lord, I ask that you bless this offering, the gift and the giver, and use it around the world. And Lord, that we can use it wisely. In your name I pray. Amen. Couple announcements. First things first is our ladies fellowship Tuesday, July 11th at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. Christy Brister will be given the devotion. They asked, please bring a snack. The next thing is, this is very important, splash camp. If you know any kids that are entering fourth through sixth grade, get them there. It's a wonderful week, and it's also one of the guys that's does a bunch of stuff. You just have to be there for it. It's his last year there, so it could be something in history for that. So make sure you have, if you know somebody, kids fourth through sixth grade for splash camp. If you need information, it's located at the welcome table. There's also the camp is $220 per camper. Our children, as you use the code ABC, $50. If you have any questions, please see our children's pastor, Jeremy Brister. The next thing is our 5 years of praise service. As we continue to approach our church's five-year anniversary in September, we remember God's blessing. Wednesday, July 5th, with an evening service together of praise and worship, we'll be sharing special memories of the past 5 years. So make sure you're here for that. And just a reminder, there is no noon service for that. So put everything to the side, make sure you're here in the Lord's house. And then the last thing, this is also really, really important, is we are needing church bus drivers. The church will pay for your CDL passenger endorsement, so if you are interested, please see Pastor for that. We only got one bus driver at the moment, so make sure if somebody's interested, please see Pastor.
Stand and sing our way out by singing Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came for me to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. I repented of my sins and won the victory. Let's sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew. See you this evening.
many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So live.